Hello, welcome to episode 77 of Dropping the X, an unofficial Hunter Hunter podcast, twerk edition.
Yeah.
Twerk.
I'm joined by Diego, fresh off a trip to Anime Expo, more or less.
Yep, definitely.
And Bullet Beast, who...
The artist formerly known as Bullet Beast.
You went to a thing, I forgot what it was called.
I went.
Yeah, that's why we couldn't record last time, remember?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you were also at Anime Expo. I don't know how that
was. Well, I know. Yeah. Well, so we had two times that we couldn't record because of events.
I was at a fighting game tournament called CEO 2013, and I was watching people play Street Fighter into people's faces, and it was a good time.
You were watching people play video games, and you had fun.
Yes.
Yep. You were watching other people compete, and it was apparently awesome.
Yes.
That's what I'm taking away from this. So, we got three episodes to run down. A interview with Megumi Han to talk about another interview, or a question that Diego asked. And we will talk about how he basked in the whole confusing experience. I guess I'll give you, like, 5 minutes to talk about... It won't be 5 minutes, because I won't be paying attention. To talk about general AX experience. And we got about an hour and a half to do this whole thing in. So, I guess... So we had that whole conversation.
So AX happened, and there was a... Wait, did I just... do my thing again?
Yeah, you just
robot. You just dubstep.
Yeah, I realized why, because I tried to open one more tab on my internet thing.
Don't you know by now how many tabs is the limit?
No, because I'm always trying to test the limits while we're recording, just because I have all this shit open. But before I get to AX stuff, let's go over the news real quick.
Yep.
So we have anime rankings from the week of June 24th to the 30th, and we had Hunter x Hunter coming at number 9 with 4.1 million viewers.
Okay.
The June 30th episode. I can't remember specifically what day, which episode that is.
I feel like that's episode 86. Yeah, is it 86? Is it?
Okay. Episode 86.
Yeah, because last
yeah, it will
in
be,
the 7th.
Right. Which is good that we're back on the top 10, as we should be. Next piece of news. Shonen Jump Theme Park has new attractions that
all seem are lame. Opening. Are they all lame?
Yeah.
Well,
the children's?
Yeah.
Oh, come on, they have, again, Thomas Just Away Fortune.
It's just, like...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think this is the lame section. I don't know.
You remember? Yeah, remember this is the one where it's like, okay, we have all these other Shonen Jump properties that we're not going to dedicate a full theme park to, or a theme to. This is just in the fun corner where no one can get to them, so that way they feel some sort of importance. But we have Hunter x Hunter's Get... X in X the X cards.
Yes.
Which is appropriately titled.
It's clearly Hunter x Hunter Get in the Cards. I don't even know why he's pronouncing the X's, because he knows they're silent.
I know they're silent, but I'm saying,
but
just
it's basically your standard rigged carnival game. It does some cards on the wall with holes in them, and if you throw the cards through the holes, then you know you may win some really lame things that you don't care about. I don't know what the hell a door plate is.
It's a plate that goes on a door.
Couldn't it be a plate that is a door? Because, I mean, that would be kind of funny and literal.
That would be, yeah.
I assume it makes, like, a voice sound when you, like, miss and it hits us up his crotch.
Right. Be like, swing.
Yes.
Yeah, the swing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, when I saw that stuff, I was like, oh, cool, yeah, try to throw shit at Hisoka. That seems like a fun time.
So, but yeah.
If you're in the area, you can go check it out. 300 yen is required for one play. Next other things that we have is related to AX, so I guess I'll go into AX now. It's basically an interview with Megumi Han done by ANN. But my experience with AX is the second time I've been. I felt like it's going to be a little bit different of experience, just because there wasn't very many industry panels that I was going to be attending, even though that was my intention to go to industry panels. But it didn't turn out that way, mostly because the schedule was all sorts of fucked up. they had all the industry panels way until the end. And then I was also there partly because of the One Piece podcast. So I had to do their things, and they were, you know, busy on the first 2 days. And but I was able to interview Megumi Han, which was cool. Got to deal with that translation issue like Foxy alluded to earlier. It's really interesting having to see, like, you sit, like, we got there, and me and Jammer were sitting there, and he wanted to join me because he thought that I was going to freak out.
He wanted to see that?
Well, because I was like, oh, dude, my, he's like, holy shit, there's, like, Megumi Han, you know, press panel. And he goes, what, press panel? I'm like, yeah, it says right here on the press line that there's panels in this room. And he's like, I've been here like four fucking times, and I had no idea that press had their own panels that they could attend.
Jammer doesn't read anything.
Nope. No, so we got to go up there and got to actually be, like, up close and personal with her talking. And, like, he thought that I was going to freak the fuck out because I was talking about how awesome she's been doing in the show. And he's like, oh my god, dude, is this a show that you do a podcast for? So you should totally, like, freak out about the voice actor. I'm like, yeah, totally. Let me do this. Hold up. Let me play this part. So she, like, walked by me, and I was like, oh my god, dude, she walked right by me. So, like, totally, like, tripping, and he just laughing his ass off. And we get there, and the first thing they do is, like, oh yeah, you know, she's super adorable in her, like, high-pitched voice and 4'6" stature, because she's really tiny.
I'm sure.
Wait, and she's taller than you?
No, she's the same height. She's 4'6".
Oh, okay. We were 4'7".
Oh, okay. Shut I up. Thought that. Yeah, I no. thought it was Bullet Beast who was 4'7", and we were 4'6".
Oh, right. He is 4'7". Yeah. I am 4'6". Oh, you're right. We are the same height. So we were basically like the same height. And
in magical Diego land.
Yes, in magical me land. So we're basically the same height. And we're looking at each other, and we're taking pictures. And she has this ginormous translator, American lady. But then at some point, someone decides that, hey, let's not have the American lady translate. Let's have the Japanese guy translate. So the guy can barely speak English, mm-hmm. from my point of view. And so when you get up there, he got up there, he started talking to the press and started asking, and he goes up and he's like, okay, does anyone have any questions? And like for a good 20 seconds, there was nobody asking questions. I was like, okay, fine, I'll start off. And I'll post the video to this because I took video. And basically I just asked, you know, what her take on the series has been since it's taken a darker tone. And I asked that to the guy, and he asked it in three separate different sentences. And then she talked, and then she asked, like, talked, like, it was like, do you remember that scene in Lost in Translation? Where Bill Murray is getting talked to about the commercial?
Should I not admit that I haven't seen Lost in Translation?
Me either.
Yeah.
Okay, so basically the scene is, like, he's talking, and he says, like, five sentences, and all of a sudden the translator says, he says, intensity. And he's like, really? That's all he said? Because it seems like he said a lot more than that. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how it felt. When I'm looking at her and I asked her, you know, the question, and she's like saying all these things. And I realized that when I said Hunter Hunter, she got excited. So she recognized when I said that. And then she goes and talks to him about it. And then her answer really wasn't exactly what I asked.
Mm-hmm.
And but I was like, oh, okay, thank you. Which I mean, you guys can attest when you see the video, but it was more so like the Lost in Translation thing came up a lot during this panel, where I didn't know if I could ask questions, and if I asked a question, was I going to get the right answer? And I didn't even prepare, because apparently from before you had to have a translator, but now they provide one for you, or maybe they've always provided one for you. But
I feel
no one's ever fucking paid attention.
I feel like they used to have, or at least when I went, they had in the thing that you need a translator, but they have so many translators working at AX, especially for the big panels with the voice actors and the musicians and shit. They all have translators employed for them, for each panel, because obviously it wouldn't make any sense otherwise.
Yeah.
So you just throw them an extra couple bucks and let them do the press panels too, is probably what they did.
Yeah, and then afterwards, like, if you had a set-up interview, which I didn't find out until later that you could have set one up and had a translator provided for you, you could have had a one-on-one interview with her or with any voice actor or anything if you're press. But again, it was just things that I didn't
know. It's because we've never acted like real press before. It was always, like, the press pass is a reason to just, you know, be a dick. Use the press shortcut. Hang out in the press room. Right,
exactly. Cut in line and then do all that awesome shit.
Walk from the dealer room to the other side without having to pass a bunch of people.
Yeah. Right. So I kind of actually took advantage of the press situation this time around, and but didn't get to attend any industry panels because when we got to be in line for them, we were like, yeah, we're press. And they're like, go line up with the regulars. And I was like, fuck that. I'm not lining up with regulars. Like, you mean the poor people? Yeah, no, fuck that. Like, that's what happened at Aniplex. Like, we were sitting there, and, like, we get up there, and it was in the same room that we were at for the One Piece podcast panel. And we get up there, we're relatively early. We're, like, 10 minutes early before they start letting people in. And we're like, yeah, we're with press. And the guy's like, go outside.
Yeah.
And I'm like, is that where the press line is? He's like, yeah, go outside. And I'm like, okay, what's this line? It's like, oh, this is for Premier Pass only. Yeah. I'm like, well, where's the industry press line? He's like, it's outside with the regulars. And I'm like, okay. So we start walking, and we walk out the doors, and we see the fucking line is huge. I was like, I'm not fucking getting in line with regulars. Fuck this shit. Let's leave. So we left and instead went to another press panel with Eric Vale, the voice actor of Sanji for One Piece, because Jammer felt that it was, we should probably go because we're kind of representing the podcast. I was like, okay. So we went there, and meantime, I'm just kind of like not really paying attention, looking at my cell phone, trying to figure out what the fuck is going on in the X and the Aniplex thing, just seeing how else they're going to rape people with money situations, which I guess didn't really announce much other than the Magi series and other shit. And I'm sitting there paying attention to my cell phone, and Eric Vale, basically his voice is the same voice for Sanji, normal. Like, he doesn't have to change it. He doesn't have to do anything. But I'm sitting there not paying attention. I think he was talking about how he has to, like, deal with a lot of issues in his life. But he closed it off. He's like, I have, you know, there's a lot of responsibility, a lot of things I have to do. So there's a lot of balls that I got to juggle. And I fucking start laughing. Because I didn't hear anything but balls to juggle. And all of a sudden I start laughing, then Jammer turns around and calls me out on it. And then all of a sudden everyone's like, really? You're laughing because I said balls? And I was like, yeah, I'm laughing because you said balls. So it was this weird, like, oh, fuck, okay, I guess I'll just own up to it moment. And it was way better than being in a fucking Aniplex anime press panel. But then after that, I try to go through the exhibit hall, trying to find some Hunter x Hunter related anything. And it always not surprised me, I should say, but it was more of like it made me feel like a fucking idiot when I would go up to the booths and be like, "Do you have any Hunter x Hunter merchandise?"
And they're like, "Gesundheit."
And they're like, "Hunter x Hunter?" I'd be like, no, but yes. They're like, no, sorry, we don't have any. And they're looking at me like I'm a fucking retard. And I'm like, okay, this is stupid. And then I found one little tiny shop all the way in the back that had the Figma figures for Gon and Killua.
Yep.
And I was like, sweet, that's awesome. How much are they? $90? Oh, fuck.
Yeah,
no.
They are expensive, in case you didn't know.
So I was, yeah. I was expecting a little bit, like 60, maybe 70. It's that extra 20 that just kind of made it like, oh, fuck. It's so close to $100. I am not spending that on a fucking action figure. So I couldn't get any Hunter x Hunter merch. But it was hard going around and looking like an idiot at every single fucking merch booth. And then I did see a awesomely dressed Hisoka that I took a picture and I tweeted out. That was cool.
Nice.
The only Hunter x Hunter cosplayer that I saw. Considering this is the second year the anime has been popular, it still makes me a little bit angry that nobody fucking, like, dresses up as the characters, or there's not really much of a presence at AX for it. Or America, I guess, for that matter, because it's not You know, most people asked Megumi Han in that panel about Chiya Hayafuru.
Mm-hmm.
Chiya Hayafuru, I think. And then
yeah.
Garden of Words, Little Witch Academia. Someone even mentioned The Last of Us and asked her if she played it. And she was like, I play the role of the character and I play it normally. So, loss in translation right there.
Yay!
And then someone asked a question that I thought was really funny, because someone asked something about a season 3 for Chiya Hayafuru. Chiya Hayafuru.
Why?
And then all of a sudden she was like talking to her translator and then talking to the people in the back and then the people in the back talking to her and then yelling back and forth for a good like 35 seconds. And all of a sudden the translator's like, she doesn't know.
Right. They don't. They don't run the show. They're just actors.
Right. No, it's just funny. But then I got to go to the Attack on Titan panel, which was kind of cool. I'm a fan of the show, and it's really interesting seeing a show with the other nerds that are there, because everyone's like, okay, let's all dress up in fucking gear. So that's already a thing. Then one guy put fucking speakers on the side of his gear. And can I tell you what was on Endless Loop?
What?
The theme song.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's enough to make you hate it. Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So the theme song, I mean, it was great, and I was really loving it for the longest time. Until... Let me rephrase that. Do you like anime, kids?
No,
Is that a
third question? Yeah, it has to be.
No, it's a hypothetical. It's a hypothetical. Do you like anime, kids? Well, go to Anime Expo and go to a panel for the anime. You will fucking hate it by the end of it. The fans will literally fucking make you hate yourself for liking a show.
I mean, unless you're the same sort of people as them, in which case, congratulations.
Then by all means,
you found your people.
Right, exactly. But if you go to a fucking panel liking a show, like me, going into Attack on Titan, and then leaving the show being like, oh my god, that was fucking horrible.
Because there's no humans like this show. Fuck.
Because of all the stupidity that was done in that panel. First of all, they had, okay, we're going to have you guys ask questions to this, you know, first of all, they had the unaired, as of that time, episode 13.5, which is just a recap. So if you didn't fucking watch the show, like Jammer, you got the fucking full experience of watching the whole first 13 episodes in the 25 or 28 episode or 28 minute thing. And the whole entire time he's like an old lady at the fucking movies. What's going on? What's that? What just happened? What is this? What is that? And everybody's fucking shouting while the thing is going on. There's no subtitles. It's all in Japanese.
That's awesome.
The theme song starts playing. Everybody starts singing along. Everyone, you know, the characters bumping up, and there's boos, there's yays, there's... And I'm like, it's like, you guys can't just watch this without, like, getting overly excited. And they start feeling like there's, you know... Oh, let me say witty remark right here inserted into audience when no one's really paying attention. Everyone laughs. Was it funny? Maybe. Does it deserve to be fucking shouted out in the middle of a show? Not really. Then proceeded by a Q&A with the producer of the anime. And people are fucking asking questions like, where did you come up with the idea for Attack on Titan? Because it's such an original storyline.
But it's a manga, though. Like, do people not know this? Like...
No, clearly they didn't know that. I mean, dude got fucking booed by the crowd, as he should have, which was cool. But, and then someone asked about spoilers, and everyone's like, fuck you! I was like, whoa, calm the fuck down. It's just a cartoon. Like, you don't need to be all, and then the guy was trying to, like, get people to, like, okay, I'm gonna try to be a little bit more, like, if you can ask a very unique question, you know, maybe you can have a one-on-one Q&A panel with the producer later on. And there's no fucking security there. So, like, three or four people just fucking ran from the back to the front of the table and started pounding on the table in front of the fucking producer guy.
What
to
the
point
hell?
That it fucking creeped him the fuck out. Like,
that's
no
horrible.
Decency whatsoever. And I'm just like, fucking nerds, calm down. So by the end of that, I was pretty much like, yeah, this is stupid.
Yep, that's how it is. Like, never, no matter how much you like the show, never go to the panel for whatever show is, like, the show at the time. Because you're going to get, like, the largest cross-section of awful people.
But the crazy thing is that last year's, they had the Tiger and Bunny panel. And that one was huge, too. And it was a completely different experience because it was so much fun. They had the voice actors there, and then they had the producer. And, like, it was such a better atmosphere, I feel.
Like, wasn't Tiger and Bunny's, like, primary audience women? Like,
I don't...
Not primary audience necessarily, but a huge cross-section of the audience are female.
Maybe. I know that there were people...
That affects it to a degree.
They were people that were dressed up as Tiger and Bunny costumes, and they were, you know, taking their time and didn't take anything away from the panel, because during the panel at one point, someone's like, let's all take a picture with the producer, and then everyone's like, yeah, and then the panel host was like, okay, I guess we don't have a choice because there's an overwhelming amount of it. And they all got up on stage, and it was just like, oh, shit. Yeah, that's probably not a good idea. But
wow, that's like...
Like at one point, the audience kind of took over, and it was pretty impressive how one dude could rile up a whole bunch of, like, nerds to go up against the panel thing, and the guys, like, kind of lost control for 1 second, but it was towards the end, so I was like, I suppose if he did want to have an extra time for Q&A, that's not going to happen.
So, mob mentality strikes again?
Yep, pretty much. But one of the cool aspects was that I actually got to meet Makoto Shinkai.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I got to meet him, shake his hand, he signed a poster, call me Diego-san, which I've never had anyone call me that before.
Oh, man. I bet you weeaboo'd out there.
Huh? No, it was weird. I was like, okay. Say what now? Diego-san? No, it's just Diego. There's no son behind it.
You're an American now.
Yeah, American son. It was the 4th of July weekend. Here's a hot dog. Have some beer. Enjoy your stay. But yeah, it was pretty cool. Like, that was awesome. And then I feel like that whole weekend was mostly dedicated to his movies because I ended up buying both of them on Blu-ray and watching them with Jammer and being like, all, well, I feel like this is his best movie yet, or, you know, being all, I like the dub versus the sub, and, you know, nerdy commentary like that.
Y'all are just weird.
Yeah.
No one else does that.
No.
Nobody. I definitely Nobody else do that. Does that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I'll have the interview with Megumi Han video posted on YouTube, on our YouTube account, which I guess we have one now, but I'll link it. And then I also will link the ANN interview if you guys want to read it. Do you guys see anything on here that you want to kind of point out that she does from the questions?
From the questions?
The one that I want to kind of figure.
She wants to be in a live-action movie. Or show.
Yes, that was brought up. She does want to play Gon, if that ever is the opportunity to do.
She wants to be in a stage play, damn it.
Yeah, exactly. She's hinting super hard.
I will say this. Someone asked her if she was in, well, she was in Hollywood, if there was an actor that she'd like to meet. Any guesses as to who it was? It's a man.
Bruce Willis? Was it Bruce Willis?
No, it was not Bruce Willis.
Okay, I'm out of ideas.
It was Johnny Depp.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She knows, so, like, Hollywood is the wrong place to try and meet him, right?
I'm pretty sure.
She should be in France. But...
Yeah. So, yeah, that's basically the AX rundown. And I'm sure at some point Jammer wanted to do an actual episode on it. I could talk to Doc on SSA when we have more time to go more into detail about the things that we did.
Okay.
But whenever we have some sort of episode, if you guys are interested, you could just listen to that.
Cool. All right, so I think we should do episodes 86 through 88 as a whole bunch, because I don't know. I don't remember things individually when I watch it like this.
Me either.
Yeah, it's fine.
The three episodes that we're covering are 86, Promise and Reunion, 87, Duel and Escape, and 88, Rock, Paper, Scissors, and Weakness. I vaguely remember episode 85. I know that they'd obviously gotten kicked out of NGL, and Knuckle had put up a challenge for them, and they answered the challenge. And so at the beginning of 86, they're going the next day to check on the board, and their challenge poster is gone. So they'll have to think, okay, well, the guy who put this up here found it, and we're going to arrange something. Sure. Of course, what actually happens is Knuckle is walking through the town shouting, like,
right, but
show
that,
your face,
you forgot
you
that that's where they meet.
Yeah.
They meet Palm,
yep,
remember?
They do.
Because when they get up there, they meet Palm, and Palm's all like, yeah, you know, don't be nervous, looking creepy as all fuck.
I'm just going to murder you, but don't be nervous.
Right.
She takes them to, like, to diner, I guess? Or IHOP,
she has her...
alternatively.
Sure. Let's go with IHOP. I feel like that's better.
Hey, we're having breakfast.
Hunter, IHOP.
So they're at HH IHOP, and she's talking to them while making a cup of coffee, I assume. And I don't know why she's been drinking this coffee, because clearly she doesn't like coffee, right? No one puts...
I think you mean her cup of sugar.
No one puts that much sugar in coffee.
Oh, it is tea, though.
Oh, too. I'm sorry. Whatever. She doesn't like tea. Mm-hmm. No one puts that much sugar in anything if they actually like what the drink is, except Kool-Aid.
Mm-hmm.
Kool-Aid is the only answer to where you put that much sugar if you like it. And they're, like, watching her pile up the sugar, like, what the fuck is she doing?
It's, like, taller than the cup.
Like, I don't understand any of this. And she's explaining to them, like, you know where you were told, guys, that you had to fight these two dudes to get in? My master also went with them, and he was like, hey, you're not strong enough to go in here, but I'll give you a chance. And they're like, really? Who was your master? And she describes him, and they're like, I don't really know what she's talking about, because I was unconscious the whole time. Gil was like, yeah, he's that guy with the suit and the glasses, and he's a jerk. And she's like, yeah, that's the guy. And she starts, like, extolling his virtues or whatever, because she's madly in love with him. And she's like, and if something were to happen to him and I wasn't there, I would take that very personally. Do you understand? And they're just like, sure, crazy lady. So why are you talking to us? And she's like, the condition she was given, like, Knuckle and Shoot were given the condition they have to beat Gon and Killua and take the tokens from them. And she was given the condition that Gon and Killua have to beat Knuckle and Shoot and take the tokens, because they really only want two people, maximum three, to go inside, because they believe, you know, if things end up like Pokal and Kite, where they're able to absorb powerful Nin users, that would be horrible. And also that they may just fuck things up in general.
Yes.
And she's like, but do you understand that you absolutely have to win, or I will murder you? I will not be able to control myself, and you will die horribly. And Gon is just like, oh, okay, no problem.
Yeah, whatever.
Because we have to go in NGL, and we plan on winning anyway, so it doesn't matter. And he's all, like, shiny and shit.
Yeah. But it was really, like, and then that's where, you know, we get to meet Knuckle and
Kuwabara.
Yes. Right, he's just sitting there, Knuckle-bar. And he's just like, he's sitting there fucking talking about how he's gonna find them, striking first, and we also get to see Shoot. And he does something with his with the tile, he puts it into his hand.
Yep.
And as Knuckle's like, okay, you know, we are going to strike first. So he gets his bring-ass banner that says bring it on, and gets his megaphone and just starts talking, I am Knuckle, you know, like, fucking come and challenge me. I will be this place at midnight. And
No. He keeps saying, you fight come fight me, but he never says where. And everyone around him is like, but where?
Oh,
where,
right.
Where should they meet you?
He's at, like, come at me, bro, if you're not a complete punk-ass coward. Midnight. And everyone is just like, is anyone going to tell him that he didn't say where? And then, like, later he's at the place and he's like, what a bunch of cowards, they didn't show up. And I like that Killua was behind him. And he's like, who would tell you, like, who we are? Like, who would just rush at you and be like, okay, sure, let's do this. And probably Goku. But...
Yep.
Right.
otherwise, I know.
But he does the...
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I had nothing.
Oh. Well, I was going to say, and then that's when fighting Gon and Killua have their info dump, where it's like, yeah, you know, this is what's happening. This is him. You know, he's a beast hunter. He looks rather suspicious. He's luring us out. He's pretty tough. We have no idea how to beat him, so we have to figure out, come up with a plan. But we have to figure out how to beat him. And then all of a sudden, Gon gets smart out of nowhere. He's like, well, we can't come up with a plan on how to beat him like we did for Genthru. Because we're the whole point of this shit is to get strong for NGL so that we don't fuck up and die.
Yes.
So why focus on one strength of an opponent? And then all of a sudden, Killua was like, oh shit, you're right.
Like,
we do have to get stronger that way, so...
Really, the whole point of making them do this mission was... When you go inside NGL, you're not going to know what abilities any of the ants have. And this is prior to knowing that they all then got Nen baptized. You don't know what any of them are going to do, and you're not going to have the time, should you end up in a fight, to watch them before you start fighting. So, here are two people that you've never met or heard of before. Beat them in a fight, and they will be trying to kill you.
Right, and they're trying to figure out how to do that, and then Gon gets all fucking cocky, like always, stupid ass, going, you know, we will be back in NGL in 1 week. And Killua was like, but yeah, no, and then all of a sudden, fucking Gon goes fucking flying through the roof. And who do we see? But Biscuit. Biscuit's back.
Yay!
And why? Yeah. Because Palm called her.
She's like, my ability told me this was the best solution. And she basically threatens Biscuit too. It's like, will you be able to train them so that they could beat Knuckle and Shoot in a week, or I will murder you. I will rip the skin from your flesh and wear it as a hat. And she's just like, probably. I'm pretty sure that if they can survive this training, they can totally do this. And she's like, okay, but I'll be watching you. And she does the thing with the fingers and the eyes, and I got this. She's a knife. She constantly has this knife in the three episodes.
Always. Always. Just
always
with the kitchen. And I was just like, y'all are just letting this crazy woman. I mean, she doesn't want you dead before you try and fight Knuckle and Shoot, but you're letting her prepare meals for you.
Yeah, because they're fucking delicious. That is what you do with a woman. You let her make it.
Nobody understood any of that. That's what you get from sexist, you asshole.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I personally...
Sounds like you're bleeped out. It's way worse.
Is it?
I personally would not
great
from her. I'd just be like, you know what, let me just make some, I don't know, grits or something, and I'll just eat grits every day this whole time, because I'm not eating from you.
Not to mention she does not, like, take care of her hair properly while she cooks, so there's probably all kinds of hair in it.
She does not pull it away. I didn't even think about that. That's
Because... So I work in food industry, so I'm like, the whole time, I was like, yo, girl, need to put that in a bun, or we got a problem. I ain't eating that food.
Yeah. Then, you know, they start their training, which is, seems just really, just, here's what you gotta do. You gotta show me your Ren for 3 hours straight. Meanwhile, I'm gonna go over here and look at some porn.
I love it.
Some man.
I love that she gets the magazine and she's like, this is awesome. And they're like,
right.
We could barely do it for like 10 minutes. Like, what are you talking about? And they stand up and they start charging their rents or whatever. And I like that when they do actually make it through the 3 hours, they are just soaked completely through to the point of clear exhaustion.
Uh-huh.
And
just dying.
She's like, okay, awesome. Now that we've completed that, it's time for you guys to go fight Knuckle. And they're like, you're joking, right? It's...
No, not at all, because that's how this rolls.
They were like passed out on the floor, and like, I can't move another step, even if like it was to eat. She's like, okay, go fight Knuckle, guys. And they like jump up. And she's like, see, you could move. Go fight him. And they're just like, this is stupid. And she's like, you know, if you could fight him after doing this for 3 hours, then you'd be good to go. But realistically, you can't fight him now. This is just to, like, feel him out or whatever. And as soon as you feel like you may be defeated, you just run away.
Yeah, and then we switch over to the chairman and the other two guys, Moral and Nov. Yes. And the chairman's like, okay, well, that one over there looks stronger than me. And Nov, the cocky asshole that he is, he's like, stronger than you, chairman, surely you jest. There is no possible thing that could work. You're the strongest one out of all of us. And then that's when the chairman starts talking about, like, yeah, but, you know, it's been... I'm getting old, yeah. And I'm way past my prime.
So I'm only top 10 all time now. Right. Yes. I was in my prime. I was clearly the undisputed heavyweight champion of the world. And they're just like, how do we tell you that you're still clearly stronger than we are? Like, by a landslide. And just like, yeah, I don't want to fight that one.
Nope. Right.
We need to do.
Especially when this fucking N is just all over the place. So how do we fucking do this? How do we win?
And so they come up with their special hit and run type tactic where they use Morals fog smoke ability, whatever it's called. It probably has a name, but I don't remember.
I can't think of it right now. It's not told to us yet, anyways.
Okay. So he essentially enveloped the battlefield with that smoke. Bad guys can't see.
With bunnies.
Yeah.
Yes, with the bunnies.
I love how that looked. Because, like, Pito is just, like, hanging out up against the wall. And I forget what he, she, they, whatever. I forget what they say. But, Pufu walks up and is like, yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. And she's like, wait, was I talking out loud? And Pufu's like, nah, like, I think we're psychically linked or whatever, because I knew what you were thinking. And then they're looking out at the horizon, and then the bunnies just, like, rush at them. And they're like, is this, like, an attack or whatever? And he's like, no, I don't feel any life coming from them. And I just think the whole way it's displayed looks awesome.
Just chill.
It's called Deep Purple. The bunnies part is Deep Purple.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Okay, so after that, Nov uses his ability, which is like dimensional ability, where he has like a secret room world thing, where he can put things in and out and people. And so while the battlefield is covered in Deep Purple,
he has to be like super. Organized.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he just drops, just puts trap holes under them into the place.
This one is called hide and seek.
Hide and seek. There we go.
And he has the chairman's just chilling there, like basically stretching out, fighting all of them.
Yeah, he's just bring on the next challenger. Yeah.
Right. I like how by the end of episode 87, the whole room is just strewn with bodies.
Just corpses everywhere. He doesn't even have room to stand anymore. He's just sitting on them.
Yeah.
Pretty awesome. We get back to the kids, and they go up to Knuckle, and Knuckle's like, wait, seriously? Fucking kids? I've never been more insulted in my life.
This is the highest level of disrespect. And he's like, I don't mean you guys, really. But
like, do you know who I am? Do you know who I am?
I'm Knuckle Bean or whatever, and they're just like, I've never heard of you.
Yeah.
But he challenges them to punch him. And he's like, if you could punch me, you could punch a tree or whatever. Oh, but no, if you could punch me and I move from this spot, then we could do this. If not, go away.
I did like his whole, like, look at you. You're all sweaty and tired and exhausted. Like, you're a mess. Go clean yourself up.
It's like, this is the most insulting thing I've ever seen. And...
right.
Gon is like, I just have to make you move, right? Okay. And he starts doing, Saisho Wagyu, you know, Jack Kampon or whatever. And he, like, he's charging it up. And Knuckles looking at it like, oh, I was not expecting this. This is terrible. He's like, I need to use Gyo to block. Wait, no, I gotta use Ko to block. But where do I block? And he's like, the stomach, right? It's gotta be the stomach. Of course it's the stomach. They always go for the stomach. And so I'm assuming he... Where did he... Did he say where he blocked? because whoever it was, it didn't work. He went sliding like 15, 20.
No, he didn't.
I trusted you. And he
passes out. Yeah. He dies. Why didn't you play by the rules?
Right. and then he dies.
Then he wakes up the next morning.
Gon's like, what the fuck? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Gon and Killawar are in their training. And he's like, what the fuck? How come you didn't take the tile away from me? You should have just took it into and ran off. And Gon's like, silly Japanese gang member. We don't want the tile. We just want to win to be strong enough to beat them.
Like, we just
want
to be able to beat the fuck out of you. And he's like, oh, okay, I totally understand that. Sure.
Yeah. So why did you become a beast hunter? Right. They ask him why he became a beast hunter. He's like, it's a long story.
Let me tell
you. Okay. Well, then never mind. He doesn't tell him. Oh, it's like, okay. It's a long story, and it's not a happy one. And then Gon says, okay, well, then why are you on the extermination team? And then he's like, oh, right. It's not that I want to get them exterminated. It's like I have this blanket policy of getting rid of misfits. So I have to do this, even though my master tells me that I'm naive and gentle. You gotta understand someone to fight them first, and that whole spiel about until you punch someone in the face, you don't really truly get them.
You know, men converse with their fists. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And I got to you punch me. Yeah. You punch me in the stomach or wherever you punch me, and mm-hmm. I respect you now. Mm-hmm. You are definitely a good kid.
You feel the feelings through the punch.
Right. And that's when Gon's like, and so are you. And he's like, see, look. There's been a puppy in the bed the whole entire time, and we've never felt them.
And he peed, sorry.
Yeah. It's like, I can tell by how much this puppy loves you that you're a good guy. Because, you know, all good hunters are well-loved by animals or whatever. But he does mention that, like, the main reason why he wants to go is the opposite reason of why they're holding the expedition, which is why he's a prime candidate not to go. He wants to be able to understand the ants before they decide to wipe them out, because he doesn't believe in blanketly killing stuff that doesn't fit into the status quo. He thinks that they should be given a chance. And everyone else is like, nope, these things are 6 feet tall and murderous. Then they've tasted human flesh. It is too late. And he's sort of going in there with the attitude that, you know, these things may be redeemable. Like, we may meet the right ones and realize that, you know, it's not all murder and hashtags and brains.
Hashtags.
You know they would totally be tweeting if they had smartphones.
Oh, hell yeah.
Just like, I imagine they're tweeting in their heads to each other.
Basically. Because that's basically episode 87. In episode 88, which is where Colt and them started noticing, hey, you know, a bunch of us are getting murdered or disappeared. as it may be, because we haven't found bodies or anything. We should probably do something about this. And they, like, Peggy draws, like, this nice little visual aid, which I instantly didn't pay any attention to. Because
It was really unnecessary, because it was really, you don't really care. You don't need to see it. But before we get to that, there's just random fact just before you keep going. This is the part in the manga where Giro's story was told. Here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that would have been
disjointed. Like, out of nowhere. Like, right?
It's like, you're supposed to care about this guy who's already dead. Sure.
Right, so I think they did that move very well to put it in a place where he was still technically relevant to the story. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, they go and talk to, like, everyone's getting fucking murdered. And
we should talk to Neferpito, Tono.
Right.
Surely he will know what to do. And then they go to the lab, and Neferpito could not give a fuck less.
No, because he's playing Frankenstein.
With his Kaito doll. I like that in the explanation, obviously, they tell us what Moral and Nov and the chairman's plan was, which is basically, okay, there are clearly a bunch of different groups, and some of them just roam around doing whatever they want, and some of them are, like, rigidly disciplined and actually listen to their leader. So what we're going to do is we're going to take out the undisciplined guys. And they notice that that's what they're doing. So they're like, so to counteract that, let's just pair up the... And I like how they they showed this by splitting up the conversation basically between Peggy and Colt, with the conversation between Moralnov and the chairman, so that it shows that both sides are kind of trying to figure out what the other side is thinking in order to counteract them. I also love the scene where Pito is playing with the kite doll.
Yes.
Right, what do you mean, like, during the whole, like, violin?
Yes, the whole violin.
Oh, man, that shit was awesome.
Incredible. Yeah.
Yes.
And I'm like, I'm watching it, because at first I saw blonde hair, and I was like, wait, because I wasn't fully paying attention, Kurapika doesn't have anything to do with this arc. And then, like, it pulls back more, and you can see all of him. I'm like, oh, yeah, this guy was a jerk. I forgot that. And he's sitting here playing the violin background music to Yupi being born. And Pito beating the shit out of random useless scrubs. And I like that Yupi comes walking towards him and it's like the Hulk noises.
Yes.
Right.
And he's just like, they're all like, hey, Yupi. And he's like, who the fuck is Yupi? Like, that's you. And he pronounces the name, and I'm like, thank God for nicknames, because that's just, I don't know who was supposed to pronounce that all the time.
They're like, you poo too 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 pee. Like, right. Fuck.
Or even type.
Yeah, you could try to type it out. It's like someone just, like, fell asleep on a keyboard, and that's your name.
This is why we don't let the queen name anyone.
She does not understand language.
So,
it's like, you are the.
She's just infatuated with the idea.
Yeah, of and we should mention that this whole time the queen has been stroking her belly. It's the same things that the three royal guards hatched from. It's just basically attached to her stomach. Mm-hmm. So I guess the way that the king was born makes perfect sense. Oh, because that's basically the way they came out. Kind of just broke and they fell through. I think it just was, we weren't expecting it because it looked different, but
well, it's kind of like it wasn't, it's supposed to happen like naturally.
So I liked the slight foreshadowing when the king starts moving around inside of her and she's like, no baby, now's not the time. Not and yet. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
And they're talking about how many meatballs the queen has to be fed, like 250 a day. Like, as she's approaching the time for the king to be born, she's just, like, stroking it.
Delicious man meatballs. Yes.
And I'm like, yeah, this is not good for, like, humanity and such.
And then we get Gon and Killua walking back from a battle with Knuckle, and they have convenient sticks, I imagine. Yeah. I don't know how
they got picked up on Leoria's power to summon sticks.
There we go. Right. All right. Yeah. It's like a low-level hunter technique now.
It is.
Yeah. All right, so they're walking back, and we get to see Shoot McMahon.
Yes.
And he's hiding in the background. He's like, all right, I got this. I just got to take him out. And as they walk by, and he's like, all right, time to act. Time to act?
Let's go.
Yeah? No? Oh, God, I suck. Why? It's like,
no, buddy. Okay? You say no? All right. And I love that the voiceover guy is like, this is Shoot, and he's a coward.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm really liking how they're putting that in, because that's how it is in the manga. You know how they have a little voice text or the things? It's like, that's how it is. It's like, he's 28 years old. He's super faint of heart. But it's a coward. He's
terrified of children. So, a thing that we neglected to mention over the past two episodes is that Palm has steadily been falling in love with Gon, and the sound effects are amazing.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're really great. It has more to do with the fact that he's being nice to her. Like, I think if I was a man and I was like, who the fuck are you? I'd be scared.
And it's, of course, the constant threats, like, at your life. So...
Right. Mm-hmm. But he's like, Gon's not even fazed by any of that shit. And so, like, they start talking about, Gon and Killua start talking about, you know, why Knuckle can't go and about his personality. And that's when, like, Paul's making them dinner, and she looks over at, right, she starts stroking the knife, and she looks over at Biscuit, and Biscuit's like, I should fucking get the fuck out of here, like, now. Then they start eating, and then he starts, you know, Gon starts eating and looks over at Palm, and he's like, thank you for the food, it's really delicious. And she asks how it's going, and she's like, not the food, we only have 10 days left, we gotta fucking do this, you know, we have to kill them. And she starts freaking out and starts talking about, like, you wanted my opinion, I'm gonna be open about it. And, like, the whole room changes, and Gon and Killua and Biscuit are just like, fuck this, I'm just eating my food, I'm not even gonna pay attention. And Gon's all up about her business, like, hey, I won't run, I told you that before, let's do a pinky swear thing.
Mm-hmm. And as it happens,
he's singing, like, this stupid little song. Like, little I can't believe you're doing this.
Yeah. Little kid. Mm-hmm. And Palm looks like she's being laid down in front of the fireplace.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then they do the Whale Island custom of, after a pinky swear, you connect, while your pinkies are still connected, you connect the thumbs together, and that represents a kiss. And then Gon gave her the tea.
And she just creamed herself.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically that sound effect. That's how I put it.
Mm-hmm.
The moment that he did that, she's like, oh!
Yes.
The voice actress clearly was, I don't know. He's loving it. So, if you were confused about Palm feeling towards Gon, hopefully that cleared some stuff up for you. And I love that Killua and Biscuit are having this, like, mini conference. It's like, okay, well, you know, crisis averted for another day. We're probably not going to die right now. And so, like, Gon clearly has her in the palm of his hand. He probably doesn't even know what he's doing. And Killua's like, yeah, but I can't help but think that, like, she opened the door to it. She just set herself up for this. They're like, whatever. As long as we don't die, it's fine. I love that Biscuit is constantly plotting her escape. She's like, yes. She did threaten to kill me too. So
I gotta go. Which is weird, because I don't know. I just, because we see her true form before, I'm like, are you sure she can whip your ass? Or you just don't feel like fucking with it?
I think more than anything, it's the creepiness factor, because it's like, yeah, this bitch is scary. Like, I don't want to deal with this. I don't have to punch a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but they finally get to the point where they can hold their Nen for, like, 3 hours without any goddamn fucking, like, strain. And she's like, okay, now let's you go fight Knuckle while getting a rest. You know, get some sleep. Mm-hmm. And then go out there.
A good 30 minutes.
Right. And meanwhile, like, Biscuit looks over at Palm, and Palm's like drawing, like, murder drawings of Gon and Killua. It's like, oh, we should probably find a way to get out of here if things don't go our way. And while this all has happened,
the upside is she's only drawing murder pictures with two people. So that means I have time to get out of here.
And then while this whole thing has happened, you know, Knuckles still. He's running now a pet zoo, or a dog zoo.
A kennel.
A kennel. Like, more and more dogs are going out to him, and he's being all, okay, time to, you know, feed them.
Where's he getting this dog food?
He's a hunter. He's got fucking all sorts of money. The greatest thing, I think, for that episode was all of a sudden, he starts feeding them, and all of a sudden there's the aura presence, and the dogs don't even fucking say anything. They're just like, okay, shit's getting real. Let's get the fuck out.
Mm-hmm.
So they all just leave in unison. Which I thought was awesome. Because, like, the first time where he was fighting them in the anime, or, like, the puppy, he kept trying to, like, lick Knuckles' face, and he's like, no, get away. I gotta go fight now.
Stop. I'm trying to be a badass. Right? I'm ruining this.
Can't look like a badass when you're licking my face like a puppy.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, it gets real serious when Gon and Killua, or Gon and Knuckles start fighting.
Killua did stand there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he stood there, and he paid attention. He's paying notice. And I believe other than that, I mean, they were just kind of going back and forth, talking about their techniques, and, you know, he's much faster now because he's rested, and Knuckle mentions that he should go ahead, use your rock, paper, scissors technique, or whatever it is, that it has two flaws. I will fuck
you up when you do it.
Yeah. I will fuck you up. You have, yeah, it's two major flaws to it.
And Killua's just like, what flaws are these? I was not made aware.
He's like, what?
Like, really? You watched this dude like do flaws. This how many times and you didn't notice that there are some key things wrong with it? I think one of them is how long it takes.
Right. I think that is thing, and it's going to be addressed for sure next episode, because that fight still has a lot to go through. I was reading the volumes again yesterday, and I was like, oh yeah, there's a lot of fucking Knuckle versus Gon happening here.
Oh, wow.
But after that, we get a transition scene where we have Nov and Moral talking about, you know, what are we going to do now? The queen is still staying inside. Everyone's still inside. What do we do? Do we take action? And the chairman's like, no, it's okay. Just let's keep doing what we're doing. We have about a week left until the peoples come in. And let's just wait until then. And I believe Nov was the one that's like, why are we waiting for the pupils? Like, I don't get it. I don't really see the point. It's like, and Moral's talking about how, you know, we can't count on the students for being reliable, but they might be useful as bait. But you know how the chairman does like to gamble. So let's make a wager. Whose students are going to arrive tomorrow? And, like, I bet 100,000 Jenny on Knuckle and Shoot. And if we both lose, the chairman, the pod goes to the chairman. He says, well, then I bet for 1 million. So he raised it from 100,000 Jenny to 1 million Jenny to see who's going to show up.
So I was actually kind of confused on this. Who is he betting on? Is he taking the other side of the bet?
No, they're both.
Oh, they're both like, yeah, okay, Moral students are going to come. Okay.
Right, they bet that the students are going to be Knuckle and Shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Right, they bet 100,000 Jenny on Knuckle
and Shoot. Wait, didn't Nov raise it to 1 million and bet on Gon and Killua and said that he said that the chairman is a gambler, because they mentioned that Gon and Killua will be pretty much useless and get in the way. But he's like, you know, if the chairman wants them to come, because he could have just told them, you know, stay the fuck out of here. Then he's willing to bet that whatever upside they have is good enough to make up for the negatives. Mm. I'm fairly certain he bet the 1 million on them. Because Moral is like, why would you raise the amount? And he's like, because I'm a gambler myself. Glasses.
He's like, I always roll high.
Right.
And then we go back to Knuckle and Gon. And they're fighting. And Gon's kind of getting it. And, oh, and then Knuckle calls out Gon's ability. He's like, that fucking ability sucks. And it's got two big weaknesses.
Count them. 1, 2.
Uno, dos. And then we get this, like, awesome, like, end scene where it's like, faces, ta 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 ta.
Mm-hmm.
And then the chairman kind of
like over that. Like it's on the back screen behind them.
And then I made it my desktop background.
And that's when he's like, you know, we might not be. Oh, okay, hold up. I figured it out. So Nov makes a bet that everybody that the chairman has, you know, is going to show up.
Okay, gotcha.
So everybody that, like, Palm, Knuckle, Gon, everyone's going to show up. And then Moral was the only one that bet that only Knuckle and Shoot were going to show up.
Okay.
I had to look at the last chapter in volume 31, where there's that scene where they, where the events are over and I had to, like, look at the picture to get the gist of the bet.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, the chairman basically says that he might not be able to complete this mission without sacrificing someone. So somebody's going to die out of all those people that are posted on the
screen. Somebody.
I'm not going to say
who. Somebody's going
to die. All of those people. All of them.
Yeah.
Someone's going to die.
Dun, dun, dun. Someone's going to die.
Yep.
So thoughts, reflections, urges.
I have an urge to talk about how awesome the music is.
Yes. All of a sudden.
It's been fucking amazing. So let's
confuse you.
Yeah.
Are you not going to talk about it?
Oh, yeah, yeah, sorry. I thought I just heard, like, all of a sudden.
No, he's no done noise. It before.
Oh, yeah, the background music has been on par with the scenes recently. It's been, like, I can't wait until the OST comes out. Because some of that shit, like, I'm going to be putting it on the podcast. It is real fun. Like, the violin playing scene where Yuppie is playing. Is it Yuppie? Pito?
Pufu.
Who's Pufu. Fucking... Pufu. Thank you. Pufu's the one playing the violin.
Yuppie can't play violin with his Hulk hands, sir.
I know.
It just crushes it.
Yeah.
Music.
Music. I'm the best.
Yeah. That scene was great. And then every once in a while, I can't remember what scenes there are, but this one piece of music comes in, and it's just, it really makes it really like exciting for me to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, musicals are really awesome. Definitely.
I like the sound effects because the pinky like swing thing.
Yes.
the whole pinky scene is really full of amazing sound effects. Like, I like that he gets the lens flare and everything on the pinky. I'm like, this is just, you see, y'all are just wasting your animation budget at this point. And then when he puts the thumb in, it's like the chew kiss effect sound, and then the whole scene was just wonderful and perfect. I don't even care about anything else.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It was the best.
The violin solo was also amazing. And paired with the scene of violence was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's kind of filler, but it's still awesome filler.
Yeah, there's definitely some awesome filler there, man.
Yeah.
Obviously, they couldn't do that on the manga.
Right, right. I mean, they do show a scene where they, like, Yuppie is playing the violin.
Okay.
And,
you mean
Pufu. God damn it. Pufu's playing the violin, and then it's like when Yuppie shows up, and all you see is the back of his head, and then you see Pito sitting there, and then in the background you see this figure, which, as we saw, is Kaito.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's who was fighting, right? Because I was kind of confused.
Yeah,
like,
it was Kite.
It was like, I wasn't, because I don't remember a lot of people's abilities.
It was,
and stuff,
it so. Was really.
No, you'll be able to
it was
see
really
the.
Clear,
the
it was really clear that it was Kite. What wasn't as clear was the puppet master, because I was looking at him like, this outline doesn't look like Pito. But yeah, that's basically what was going on.
Okay.
The whole entire. The one scene that we forgot to talk about is that at some point they froze him in ice. They froze Kite in ice. And then Pito's talking about she had a lot of fun fighting him. And
he wants to fight him again.
He wants to fight him again, yeah.
Or
yeah.
He wants to fight him.
Yeah. Okay. I keep fucking forgetting. It's a man. Even though all these people.
Matter.
All these people.
It's a man, it's a woman. It's just like. No, it's the same issue as we had with Killua's siblings, Alica. Like, you spend 9 years thinking it's a boy, and then Killua adamantly is like, my sister, and you're just like, what? So you're trying to keep that context in mind, but at the same time, you can't divorce yourself from saying he, which is the same thing, like,
right.
You'll notice when we discuss Pito, because, you know, years of thinking Pito was male, and then, like, sort of breasts, and even though men have breasts, too, And, like, obviously, like, you could have known before, long before casting, that Pito was going to be cast with a female voice. It's just, like, nobody does, like, okay, and now let's have Noriyuki Wakamoto audition. Which I think would have been awesome. But
that would have been the best.
It would have been.
But they can't afford it.
There's no way.
It would have been.
But basically, like, you're used to he, and then you, like, you clearly have to acknowledge that it's a female voice actor, even though this happens all the time. Female voice actors for attractive or, like, pint size human males. Mm-hmm. So
it was also a different thing, though, too, because they specifically refer to him as a her in the show, and I was like, that's not fucking Madhouse.
It's like, whatever, it's fine. For the sake of series discussion, sure, until proven otherwise, Pito is female, but we're still going to say, like, there are going to be times when we're going to go back and forth on the pronouns. That's why I tried to say they, but right after they, I was like, he. And I'm like, you know what? Mm-hmm. It just, you just get used to it. It's going to happen. Sometimes you're going to say she, sometimes you're going to say he. Don't get too confused about who we're talking about. It is worth noting, they mentioned, I know they talked about it, because they were like, almost every, like, one thing you have to keep in mind is almost all of the ants, I think they said, they mentioned how many were female, and I think they specifically said what gender the Royal Guard were going to be, but I completely forgot that.
I don't remember that.
I think they may have said that the Royal Guard is, like, the only group that's all male, but in general, the majority of the other ants in high positions are female, because if you know anything about ants, like, the workers are just useless males that, like, live to do whatever and then die.
Yep.
And then somebody shows up to impregnate the queen, and then he dies. But most of the ants that do shit are female. So that's a thing to think about. That a lot of these ants with male voices and male bodies may actually be female. So in that case, this makes perfect sense.
Right.
I guess minus the ones that obviously are more female.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, ignoring Zazan.
Zazan.
Zazan's clearly female. Lion Dude's sidekick is clearly female. But it's all... Well, Lion Dude is probably, if he's not male, he definitely has male memories, because he was a male lion.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so keep in mind that the gender breakdown for the ants does not work out as smoothly as we think it does. So,
no. Plus, also Togashi is just weird with its fucking androgynous people. Yep. More so in this series than in his past other one, like in Yu Yu Hakusho.
Yeah, I mean, but, like, Kurama was the closest, right, to being androgynous.
Right. Like, this is the more. Like, this is like JoJo levels of confusion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you get that joke. I don't know. But yeah, I really thought the animation was well done, too. Like, that's one of the things I fucking love about Madhouses, is that the animation is always top-notch, no matter what the fuck kind of episode it is.
Yep.
Yeah.
Even if it's just a training episode, it's just, oh my god, beautiful art.
Mm-hmm. Just, like, the look of, like, whenever there's, like, an impact, how it just, like shockwaves go across the whole screen, and just everything's so fluid,
right?
Okay, so
yeah,
we have one piece of feedback that we didn't get to, so I'ma switch audio and play that so you can hear.
Alright.
Okay, cool.
God damn it, Skype.
I'ma be. Twerk it.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Wakashi.
Really?
The episode so far in this arc was 82, just because of the fights. It was pretty awesome. But, episode 85... Okay, just for some context, I have not read the manga. So, yeah. And I was eating while watching this episode, and by the end of it, I couldn't finish my cheeseburger. I couldn't do it. it had bacon, and I still couldn't finish it. That's just how much this episode killed my appetite. Not necessarily in a bad way, but yeah, I just, wow. Like, first Attack on Titan, but then this was like that times five. Because I actually care about Kite, and don't really care about Eren, so yeah, dang. I don't even know what to say. Why? How is this? I still don't understand how is this on Sunday morning. It's crazy. I'm a little worried on how Gon is going to react when the reality smacks the face. And don't tell me, please, because I'm watching this show for a reason. I'm not reading the manga for a reason, because I want to watch this fresh. So, yeah. Thanks, guys, for your podcast. It's very awesome. And see ya.
We should probably mention this guy is a podcast that I was on, and I think it's Anime on Top. No.
That Wakashi. Okay.
Yeah, that's who he is. So that would explain why he like edited.
Yeah, thanks.
He like edited.
Well, it was confusing because I was like, "Did you just switch us to a different fucking thing?"
Yeah, I thought we were getting trolled. Like, I was like, "Wait, what?
What are we listening to with that theme music? That is very new and interesting." Great response. I really like that, and I'm not expecting everyone out there to be able to do that, but the bar has been raised, people.
Yes.
So your turn, community.
And he emailed us his audio, so you could totally if
do that.
I didn't even think about this, but yeah, if you have audio equipment and you're in a position where you can't call, you could totally do this. You could record yourself talking and send it to us, and we'll play it. And his own sounds clear because I think he has a real microphone and editing equipment and whatever. Yours may not sound so great, but I'd be as entertaining. But it's key to mention that even though he said 82, he did mean 85, where Kite dies. And yes. I love that he edits in Gon's scream. Like, sure.
Yeah. I don't know if that's how that's going to go. We're not going to tell you what happens because, again, we don't want to be spoiled. And we don't want to give spoilers out.
And he did beg but to be spoiled.
Yeah.
He did. I was like, well.
Because you
he said, don't tell me. He said, don't tell me.
Yeah.
Don't tell him. But, he doesn't. I don't know. It is a very interesting thing. We do wonder how Gon is going to react to that. That is a very good point. We will wait and see.
Yep. So again, thanks for emailing us this audio clip. It's hxhpodcast@gmail.com. You could totally hop on this too. That's another interesting way of using email, and I guess you could make a video question and post it on YouTube and give us the link. That would also work if you were so inclined. If you're not, twitter.com/hxhpodcast, facebook.com/hxhpodcast. The website itself, which is still currently hxhpodcast.wordpress.com. And if you guys want to call, 954-324-7722, to say it's for Hunter Hunter or Dropping the X or whatever you want to call it, it'll be forwarded to us, and we will discuss and enjoy. So thank you, Wakashi, for sending us this, because no one else did.
Yeah, like again, it was new and entertaining.
I mean, and in the time since we last recorded, there have been 3 new episodes, so feel free.
Yeah, there was a lot of talk about, and it was really cool, and it was mostly the delay on the episodes was mostly just because of schedule things, like CEO and AX, but I don't plan on going to any more anime conventions.
What, like, ever?
That's usually the only one. No. Like, that's just usually the only one that I go to, so. Mostly because it's close and it's big and.
Close.
It doesn't.
How many hours did you drive again?
Yeah, I know. It's a whole adventure.
I drove 8 hours to get there and then 7 hours to get back.
Close.
Wow.
Wow. I love the American definition of close. Like, okay.
It is. It's the same state.
You know what is, you know what is close for me? Florida is close. That's a 30-minute plane ride. 30 yeah. minutes. Mm-hmm. I'm sure as I'm...
But you have to deal with customs and shit. If I wanted to take a plane from...
It doesn't take that long. It's like 15 minutes in line, and then the dude is like, sup, where you going? And I'm like, to a convention, and he was like, what's that? And I'm like, this is really awkward to explain to you. I'm just going to hang out with my friends for a couple of days with like-minded people. And he's like, sure. It's your address in the States? Like, yeah. Okay. Go. And you just walk through, and then you just basically wait for your plane. And it's awesome because we get to do that here and not have to stand in line with 100 bajillion people coming from all over the world. So, when you reach Florida, that's awesome.
Yeah, I don't know. For me, it was like, okay, I could spend $50 on gas to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Or I could spend $90 on an airplane ticket.
What, is a train not an option?
It's an option, but I honestly wasn't entirely too sure on how to, if it went to Burbank.
Yeah.
Again, I think it would have been a different thing if I was going to actually to LA.
Does Jammer have a car? Make him pick you up.
He does have a car. He would have picked me up. But again, it was more of just like, I was already at work, and I was like, it's just going to be so much more convenient if I just drive there.
8 hours.
At least that's the way that I thought.
8 hours.
But from now on, I know. I've done this twice now.
Mm-hmm.
Every year, I'm like a fucking Alzheimer patient thinking, oh, it's okay. I'll just drive there.
I mean,
it'll be fine. I'm going to LA. It's a fucking 8-hour drive. It's not that big of a deal. I could understand it.
To be fair.
But as I'm getting older, I'm getting wiser.
Dominic and I feel like my memory. When he goes.
Yeah, I know. But he's a cheap-ass bastard.
Yes, that is true.
I have the luxury of money now, so I don't need to fucking worry about it. Like, I should be able to go there with
Wait, but by that logic, yeah, you could have gone by plane.
No, I know. And it was more of like, I should have done that, but I didn't do it only because I was like, no, it's okay. I could save some money that way.
I mean, like, we did drive 10 hours to Georgia, but it was, what, 4 of us in the car. It's way more entertaining than just one person. Because I know people that have totaled their car on a 2-hour drive from Orlando. 4-hour drive from Orlando because they passed out.
Yes.
Oh, see, that's rough. That is rough. Like, I have made sure that I, like, had enough sleep and everything was okay, and then I drink a shitload of coffee. And then I was also, like, with the window down, rocking the fucking Britney Spears, Miley Cyrus on the way down there.
Obviously.
Make sure they kept me up. Yeah, dude. Gotta keep up with the music. But, yeah, so I will never do that again, though. I'm like, I will gladly pay for a fucking airplane ticket to go.
So,
to...
And the thing is, I don't know how it is, because you're driving for much further away, but the cool thing about going to Orlando conventions, the hilariously cool thing, is that you can always tell which people on the highway are going to.
Yep.
Which is the best. Like, you're driving past people and someone is, like, in full cosplay, and you're just like,
what? Yeah, they're just driving on the road in full cosplay. It's, like, hilarious.
I didn't get to see any cosplay until I was close to the convention center.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It was also 4th of July weekend, and the freeway was pretty packed. And when I stopped at the gas station to refuel,
mm-hmm.
it was like a fucking circus, but it was all children, mm-hmm. and I knew exactly what was up. It was all people taking their kids to either Universal Studios, fucking Disneyland, anything that's down there, Knott's Berry Farm, maybe Flags, whatever the fuck had a fireworks show. That was big. That was going to be getting put in. People were driving to the city to watch fireworks.
Okay.
Nice.
And so that's why it was so packed. It had, I mean, I feel like if it was completely different, like last year, the fucking X Games were at the same fucking time.
Yeah.
At the same fucking spot. So it made it a lot more difficult to see. And it was also this amazing, I think I'm never going to see it again, mixture of people where you have skaters. And then all of a sudden you look over and, like, right next to the skater people, punks, there's a Lolita walking around taking pictures. Like, Oh, right. There's also an anime convention going, and there's people dressed up in Japanese costumes.
Well, look at it this way. At least it wasn't a cheerleader convention. Because...
Yes, that happens every time at Mega.
Yeah. They...
A cheerleader convention?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's same a time. Big cheer competition every year.
It's always on... It's on ESPN. Yeah. It's
like, oh, man.
The big one on ESPN.
It would have... And it would have been awesome if just like a bunch of people in cosplay just like photobombed people while they're on the screen.
Because and they always have it so that you have to walk through the MegaCon area to get to the ESPN cheerleading thing, and so they're always walking through like it's like they're going through like another planet on the way there.
Like the best thing in my entire life. 2003, I'm like 18 years old, first time I ever went to a convention, it was MegaCon, and it's like cheer convention, and I'm dressed in normal clothes, I'm a black person, and these cheerleaders are coming up the escalator behind me, which was unnecessary, because like their thing at the time wasn't on the same floor as MegaCon, so it's clear they were coming up the escalator just to see, and they're like behind me whispering like, why are they doing this? Like, look at them. I don't even know what they're supposed to be. And I'm just like, this has got to be the worst day of your life. I hope you don't lose whatever it is you're doing. Because all you're going to remember is these people in costumes threw you off your flow and then you fell off the pyramid and this is all awful. But yeah, I mean, the chair competition is also creepy because it's like little girls straight up to like high school age girls. So it's really weird.
And they're, like, all super done up in makeup, but they're, like, 9.
Yeah. So that's the thing. I mean, at least with the 2 years I went to Anime Expo, none of that ever happened. But at least with AX, it's, like, different things every year. Whereas MegaCon, it's always cheerleaders. And, like, cheerleaders are, like, the one sworn enemy of anime fans, which makes it even more hilarious. Yeah. Like, all of these people that get that, are gonna get picked on at school for being at this thing versus all the people that possibly may be doing it, or at least in movies are the ones that do it. Was like, this is just the best. Whoever scheduled this the first time and continued with it is a like insane genius. I wanna shake their hand.
Yes.
That's awesome.
I don't remember if I closed the episode. So thanks for listening. To episode 77 of Dropping the X, an unofficial Hunter x Hunter podcast, our mini con wrap up to the little Megumihan thing, and episodes 86 to 88. So thanks for joining us. Come back next time. Peace out. それは叶わぬ想い人は想をやっていくつもよるを越えて明日を探して来たんだろう君へ思いを馳せる遠く 離れていても一人こうして見上げる空の先にいつか繋がり合える心を信じて流れ星きらい君は夢の中違う明日が透き今日の光この想いを届け君のためにできること見つけるのさ空の彼方まで
時を